Hearing some more amazing music, and what a blessing that'll be. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, so if you'll find that and stand with me, we'll read our text this morning. Typically, for those of you who are guests, first of all, thank you for being with us. We're blessed to have you, and I hope you feel encouraged and blessed to be here. We're typically on Sunday mornings going through the Gospel of John. However, the Lord is leading us to be in Matthew chapter 13 today. In fact, we'll be in chapter 13 again tonight, so we'll look forward to what He has for us in His kingdom parables. And that's really what we're studying here in chapter 13, Jesus teaching His disciples about the kingdom. And we need to have that lesson too, don't we? Why do we need that lesson? Well, the world is opposite. The world, the philosophy of this world is opposite of the philosophy of God. Right. If you embrace the philosophy of this world, then you can know with assurance that you're not on God's path. The world doesn't have God's philosophy. And so the kingdom parables Jesus is teaching His disciples about His way and His, not just philosophy, but His kingdom. So look at verse number 1, and then we're going to jump all the way to verse number 44. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and He spake many things unto them in parables." Okay, look at verse 44. Jesus continuing again with these parables, He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman, seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, that when that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." Now look at Jesus as He here explains these parables. "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus saith unto them, talking to His disciples here, "Have ye understood all these things?" Well, they say unto Him, "Yea, Lord." In other words, yeah, we receive the gospel. Look what He says next. "Then said He unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder and bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." See the contrast between somebody who's looking for a treasure and somebody who already has a treasure? Somebody who's looking for the treasure and the scribe or the householder who already has it, who now he has a responsibility to give it. Yeah. "An householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Father, I pray Your blessings on the message this morning we need to receive from You as You would guide us. Help us to be sensitive to what You have for us this morning. I pray Your Spirit would work in our heart. I pray for conviction. Lord, we need to hear from You. So I pray that You'd speak to us. Guide us in Your path, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. The title this morning is "To Be Ready." It says on the front of your bulletin, "To Be Ready." I want to give a subtitle to it. The subtitle is "Give People a Chance." Give people a chance. We're going to talk some about that today. But be ready. Be ready. We live in a world where people need to hear the gospel and they need to get ready. Because there's coming a day. There's coming a day whenever they won't have a chance after that. And so they need to get ready. They need to be ready. I remember hearing a story about an evangelist who was doing some door knocking and knocking on somebody's door, and who responded or actually opened the door was a teenage young person. And this teenage young person, there was some sarcasm there. The evangelist was asking them if they attended church, and he sarcastically said, "No, I have not attended church, and I'm not interested in church." And the evangelist was concerned about his spirit and of course, his soul. So he asked him, "Well, if you were to die today, where would you go? Do you know where your soul would go if you were to die today?" The young man said, I actually want to go to hell. And that was the way he responded. Now, I'm not sure that I've ever heard somebody say that to me. You know, that's a pretty shocking thing to hear, isn't it? I actually want to go to hell. And of course, his teenage friends are in the background, snickering and laughing. And so the evangelist was concerned about what he had just heard this teenager say, that he wants to go to hell. Obviously, he doesn't really understand what he's saying. So the evangelist said, "Do you happen to have a lighter on you?" And so the young man, of course, had a lighter, and he handed him the lighter, and he took that lighter, and he struck it, and he held it out. And he says, if you would like to go to hell, then what I would like for you to do is just put your hand over this flame for 30 seconds. Would you be willing to do that?" And this teenage boy in the background heard his buddies, "Yeah, do it. Put your hand over," you know, just that peer pressure. Yep. So the young man finally caved to the peer pressure of his friends and stuck his hand, his bare hand, over this flame of this lighter. And he just held his hand over this flame for a few seconds, and his hand began to shake, and he jerked his hand away. Didn't make it to 30 seconds. The evangelist looked at him and says, "So you mean you want to go to a place where it doesn't have just a flame that you'll have to experience for a small time, but a fiery furnace, and you'll be there for all of eternity? You want to go to that place?" You know, I think somebody who's in their right mind, anybody who's in their right mind would never say, "I want to go to this place. I want to go here." There was a rock star who was quoted as saying this, "I want to go to hell," he said. He said, "because hell will be fun." He goes on, he says, "I hope I go to hell." He said, "I want to die so I can get to hell and have fun." That's what that rock and roll star said. That's a deception, isn't it?
Yes. Right.
That's somebody who's deceived. Somebody who says that they think hell will be fun. Let me encourage you about something. Hell won't be fun. We see that as Jesus teaches his disciples, even in this passage. Hell isn't going to be a place of fun. Listen to what one writer said about hell. He said, "There's no way to describe hell." Listen to what he says here. He says, "There's no way to describe hell. There's no way to describe it. Nothing on earth can compare to it. No living person has any real idea of it. No madman in wildest flights of insanity ever beheld its horror." That's what he says. He goes on, "No man in delirium ever pictured a place so utterly terrible as this." He says, "No nightmare racing across a fevered mind ever produced a terror to match the mildest hell. No murder scene with splashed blood and oozing wound ever suggested a revulsion that could touch the borderlands of hell. Let the most gifted writer exhaust his skill in describing this roaring cavern of unending flame, and he would not even brush in fancy the nearest edge of hell." That's what he said. I think he's onto something, don't you? I think that somebody who says they want to go to hell, or somebody who isn't too concerned about their eternal destiny, they're not thinking. They're not in their right mind. They don't really know what they're saying. I would say this, that somebody people in this world, generally speaking, their spirit about their eternal destiny, or the question that they have about their eternal destiny, is this: I don't want to go to hell when I die. I don't want to spend eternity separated in a place like that. What I want, people would, I think, mostly admit, I want to go to heaven. I want to know how I can know for sure that my eternal destiny will not be in this place, but will be a place with God. Now, Jesus explains the search that people have for heaven like looking for a treasure in our passage. He explains the search that people in this world have like a search for a precious or valuable jewel, a pearl. That's how he explains it. Now, we can know with certainty that there are multitudes of people in this world who are wanting to find their way to heaven. But they're not looking in the right places. Why would somebody look for their way to heaven? Because it's in man to know that when we die, it's not over. You say, well, how do you know that for sure? I don't have to prove it. It's built in us. The Holy Ghost confirms it. The creation of God declares it. And so man are searching for God. They're searching for answers. They're looking for a way to know that when they die, they can have peace. Because we know in us that when we die, it's not over. Jesus here explains as a search. Look at verse number 44 with me again. Look what he says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth and for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. So Jesus explains the search for the gospel unto salvation as for a man who's searching for a treasure, and he finds the treasure, and what he does is he hides it in, or rather the treasure hid in a field, he finds it, he hides it, and he sells all that he has and he buys the field. So the idea is this. Somebody who's looking for salvation, when you find the gospel unto salvation, then what you'll do is you'll sell everything that you have so that you can acquire it. That's the imagery. That's what he's saying. When you find the treasure that takes you to salvation, is there anything in this life that's more precious than the gospel?
No.
That's what it's saying. No, there's nothing. So he would be willing to sell it all to acquire the gospel. Look what it says in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So now we have the imagery shifting, but it's the same idea, a great treasure. He's found it in verse 46. When he has found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had to purchase it or to acquire it. So he is looking for the treasure. The treasure is the gospel unto salvation. He's looking for the goodly pearl, and the goodly pearl represents the gospel unto salvation. And when he finds the treasure, when he finds the pearl, he'll sell everything to acquire it so that he may possess this great treasure. Here's the point. Not that we need to sell all of our goods to acquire salvation. There's nothing outward that we can do to purchase rightness or peace with God. But the idea is this. There is nothing in this life that is more valuable than the gospel unto salvation. There's nothing that should, maybe we could say it this way. There's nothing that should stop us. So when we receive or we finally find the gospel that will take us all the way to salvation, then we hear this, then we have found something that is so valuable that nothing should stop us from receiving it. Amen. Nothing in this world. That's the imagery. That's what he's saying. Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, you show up at Western Hills Baptist Church, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
And contained within the Word of God is the message of the gospel unto salvation.
Amen.
By the way, that's what we're doing this morning. The message of the gospel of salvation. And you hear this message, and God begins to work in your heart. And you realize through the work of the Holy Ghost as He speaks to you, and He says this, the Holy Ghost, He speaks to you, and He says, this is the truth. He says, this is it. And He's speaking to your heart. And you realize, whoa, this is the message. This is the gospel. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I can be saved because of this message.
Amen.
And you start to realize, I have found it. I found it. Remember when he spoke to you?
Yes. Yep.
I remember where I was. I was sitting in church, much like this, in youth group. I shouldn't even have been in there. I snuck in there. I was a bus kid. And when you're a bus kid, and there's 600 bus kids, you can sneak around. And so I did that. And so I snuck into youth class. I shouldn't have been in there, but God had something for me when I was in there. And I was sitting all the way in the back row where, you know, where usually the carnal people all sit back anyway. So I'm sitting back in the back row and I'm there and I'm thinking, man, this is way boring, more boring than junior church. This is the worst. And he starts to preach, and you know what? He's preaching about hell. And he starts preaching about our eternal destiny separated from God. He talks about sins. And I start to realize, oh no, this is me. I'm a sinner. I have been separated from God. And God begins to use that message to prick my heart. And he speaks to me. And you know what I realize? For the first time in my whole life, I realize I need to be saved. And it wasn't because somebody told me, hey, you need to be saved. No, no, no. The gospel struck my heart. I knew I needed to be saved because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And whenever that happened, you know what maybe I wouldn't have articulated it like this, but you know what I realized? I found a treasure. I found something. And the idea is this, is when you are exposed to the gospel and the Holy Spirit starts speaking to your heart, here's what's going to happen. You're going to realize, I found something. I found something that's more valuable than anything in this world. Anything. That's what Jesus is pointing out here. Yeah. So the point I think we can take in another step is that you would be foolish if you don't do whatever it takes to receive the gospel. Ooh, let me say that again. You would be foolish if you didn't do whatever it takes to receive the gospel. Did you know Jesus said to the woman at the well, he began to explain to her what the gospel was. He said it's a well of it's living water. But you know he explained what the living water was? It's not this. By the way, I try not to drink too much water in front of you because then all you just want to get a drink. Right? Man, it makes me thirsty. It's not water, like literal water. All right, front row, you ready? I'm going to sprinkle you with living water. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He actually explained it, that it's a well of water springing up in him unto everlasting life. You know where that well of water is? It's the gospel that springs up in you. God works in you. And he draws you, he speaks to you, and he leads you unto salvation. And so God has, in the gospel, given us a treasure. And you have found yourself in a place this morning where you're receiving the gospel. And it might be for the first time you realize, I need to be saved. I've been putting my trust in religion or outward exercises or things. You know, I've been hoping that being a good person or giving, you know, or doing good deeds or being baptized and going through the motions and doing all these outward things, thinking that these will make an inward change, but it doesn't work that way. God speaks to you and he draws you on the inside and he brings conviction to your soul so that when it's time to be saved, God is working in you and you can make a choice that you'll either receive him or you won't. And here's what the imagery of this passage is. The gospel is a treasure, and when you find it, you would be foolish if you didn't do whatever it takes to turn your heart to Christ. Selling all that you have doesn't mean you need to go empty your bank account and give it all to Western Hills Baptist Church. That's not what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. It's like I said to a friend who I was doing Bible studies with who needed to be saved, and we had maybe 10 weeks of Bible studies, and we're sitting there in the office, and we're open the Bible, and we're studying about it, and he says to me, I said to him, his name's Devin, I said, Devin, do you know, does this make sense to you? The gospel, does it make sense? He says, yeah, it makes total sense to me. I said, so you understand the gospel and the gospel unto salvation. Now, Devin's lost. He needs to be saved. And I'm asking him if he understands the gospel. But then he said this to me. He said, Pastor, how do you know when you're ready? How do you know when you're ready to be saved? Because I understand the gospel. I know I need to be saved. How do you know when you're ready to be saved? I didn't know how else to explain it than this. Like this pew that's right in front of most of you. You put your hands on the back of it. You know, when we're standing up during invitation time, and Brother Mark's going to be singing during invitation this morning. And while Brother Mark is singing, have thine own way, Lord, whatever we sing. You know, so you have your hands, and in your heart, God's saying, that's you. You need to be saved. Now, the pastor doesn't do that. I don't have like little speakers in the pews. You know, these aren't real pads, guys. These actually have built-in speakers. And I whisper to you, you need to be saved. No, we don't do that. The Holy Ghost speaks to you. And you're holding on to the back of this pew, and God is telling you, you need to be saved. He's trying to affirm to you, you found a treasure, and you'd be foolish not to do whatever it takes to receive it, like to acquire it, to get it, to get saved. And Devin asked me, how do you actually, okay, I know I need to be saved, God's speaking, how do I actually when am I ready? When am I ready to be saved? I'm holding on to the back of the pew. Here's when you're ready. Watch. Everybody watch. Here's when you're ready. Amen. Just let go of the pew. Right. Come to the front. Like, I don't want anybody to see me. Then you're not ready. Amen. I'm too embarrassed. You're not ready. Why? Because something's more important than salvation.
Right.
It's your own pride. But this guy says, Jesus teaches his disciples, when you find the treasure, sell it all. What's that mean? Nothing's more important. I don't care about me anymore. I don't care what anybody thinks. I ain't going to, have you ever heard this? I ain't going to hell for nobody. I don't care what anybody thinks. It's time and I'm doing it. So that's the imagery here. But it's not over. The gospel into salvation is a treasure. But look what's going to happen. Verse 47. Ready? In our passage, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net cast into the sea, gathered of every kind. See those last two words? Every kind? Yeah, every kind. Every kind. And then there's going to be a time when they're keep the good and cast the bad away. So the net, there's two kinds of net in the scriptures. There's the net that Jesus found his disciple whenever he came to Peter and Andrew and they were casting the net into the sea. That net was a small net. It was small so that people, one or maybe two, could just cast it into the sea. That's not this net. This net is actually the Greek word, y'all are going to be impressed. You ready for this? The Greek word, sagene. I think I nailed it. Here's what this is. This is a trolling net. It's 1/2 mile in area. The way that this net would work is they would attach or secure one end of the net to the shoreline and the other end of the net would be secured to a boat. The top of the net would have floats on it. The bottom of the net would have weights. So it literally would float on top of the water and drag the bottom of the water. The boat would do a large circle in this 1/2 mile radius and bring this boat all the way in, dragging the bottom of the water. And here's the point. Gathering in everything that's within this area. Listen, both dead and alive. Everything is gathered into the net. Whenever the net is brought in and gathered in, then they would pull it up to the shore, and little by little, what the fishermen would do is they would separate the good from the bad. You say, well, wow, well, that's a really neat thing. You know, I'd really love to see that someday. Well, here's what Jesus says. Maybe the imagery of the fishing net is a real thing. It's a true thing. But what Jesus is saying that it represents, I don't think we're going to be too excited about. Look what he says it represents. Verse number 49. So it shall be at, look at these words, the end of the world. That's what it's going to be like at the end of the world. The angels will come forth, sever the wicked from the just. Shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So there's coming a day, like Pastor Marshall said last week, there's coming a day. This is, by the way, this is judgment day.
Right.
Whenever those will be cast into the furnace, Jesus is talking about judgment day. He's talking about the end. He's talking about whenever it's all over. And so there is a judgment day that's coming. This is why you need to listen to the gospel message. This is why if you don't know for sure of your eternal destiny, you should never allow your pride to stop you from turning to Christ, to receiving the treasure of the gospel. If he's speaking to you this morning, you're foolish if you leave and you've not turned to Christ. You say, Pastor, that's offensive. You hurt my feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'll say whatever I need to say so that you would understand the gravity of this decision. A judgment day is coming. You say, well, I don't like that message. It's kind of sad and hurtful. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling us this, and it's urgent that we get it. So, what about those of us who have received Christ? Well, look at verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. So what does that mean? Now, we can ask this question. I feel like this is a legitimate question to ask. Did they really understand? And we might wonder, well, you know, the disciples, they have times when they would say they understand, but they're not really getting it. But it just says they understand. And Jesus takes them at their word, and he teaches them what's next, if you do understand. So the idea here is this. Do you understand this? That the treasure is the gospel? Do you remember when God spoke to you? And you realize you found it. The gospel, this is it. This is the treasure. Did you understand to the place where you received it? You say, yes, I remember when I received it. I know I'm saved, Pastor. I know I'm saved. I'm not worried about it. Okay. Then you need to hear this next part. You're saved. You received it. Now listen. 52. Then said he unto them, Therefore, say that next word, scribe, which is instruct into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, he says that people who received it, people who have understood it, he says, you're a scribe. Now, what is a scribe? A scribe is a learner. Listen to this. A scribe is a teacher. A scribe is a learner. A scribe is a teacher. Are you saved this morning? Yes, Pastor, I'm saved. Then you're a scribe. You're a learner and you're a teacher. You have received a great treasure. And so what do we do with this great treasure? Well, according to Jesus, look what he says. He uses another analogy. He says, it's like unto a man which is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. An householder here is speaking of somebody who's received the treasure, and with this treasure, he has something that he can bring forth from his storehouse, and he can distribute it. The word here, bringeth forth, literally means spreading out. Literally means spreading out the treasure. You've received it. Now your role and your responsibility, your job as a scribe is to deliver the message, to give the treasure to others. Not to take the treasure that you've received and hide it in a field and not show anybody this treasure, but to take it from the storehouse and deliver it and give it to those that need to hear about this great treasure too. There was a missionary who visited our church. This would have been several years ago, and they're in Nebraska. And he was becoming a raising support to become a missionary in England, Brother Riley Barrett. A friend, and he was delivering his message, and he had us open up to Isaiah chapter 6. Now listen, Isaiah chapter 6 is when God called Isaiah to go to the nation of Israel and to deliver the treasure, to give them the message. But then, listen to this, God told Isaiah, by the way, when you get there and you deliver the treasured message of the gospel, the good news, they're not going to listen. Well, that's a bummer. You know, that would be like God's called us to Glendale, Arizona. Hallelujah. Hundreds of people are going to get saved. Thousands of people, you know, whatever, I don't know. And then God says, but when you get there, nobody's going to get saved. Why am I going here then? You know, this is what God told Isaiah. I want you to go to the people. I want you to deliver the message. But when you deliver the message, I want you to be ready for this. They're not going to listen. And so Isaiah would have wondered, why am I doing this then? And you know what the answer was? Very simply. Brother Barrett pointed this out in his sermon. It's very simply this. Did you know God isn't, Brother Barrett said, God's not calling me to England to win people to Christ? Oh no. Why would he say that? We're not supporting this guy. God's calling us to England not to win people to Christ. No, he said this. Did you know what God's calling us to England to do? To give people a chance. We can't make people get saved. Don't raise your hand, okay? But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but don't do it, okay? It's a trick question. Raise your hand if you can make somebody get saved. I don't see any hands. Good job. I set you up on that one, though. You can't make anybody get saved. So we're gonna disperse the treasure.
Yes.
And you might expect that all these people are going to get saved, but what if they don't?
Right.
Did you know you still did what God wanted you to do?
Right.
Why? Because you gave them a chance.
Right.
Did you know if you take that treasure and you hide it, they don't even have a chance?
Say it again.
I found this great treasure. Changed my life. I'll never be the same. I have eternal hope and peace from within. And as bad as it is, I always have peace. Because I know I have a relationship with the Father. You have a treasure. And if you take that treasure and you hide it and you don't deliver it to those around us, you can't make them get saved, but you can give them a chance. That's what God's called us to do. To give people a chance. Take the message, the treasure, and deliver it. Tell as many people as we can. Give a track. This morning we were in our prayer time at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We pray over in the fellowship hall, and all the boys that were in there, some of the kids that were in there, they were sad. And then Brother Carlos walked in. He had like 3 boxes of donuts, and everybody was happy. You know, so prayer time on Sunday mornings, right? While in there, we talked about giving tracts away, and we asked God in our prayer time all those tracts that were given away last week. And I know you give those tracts away because I cannot believe how many tracts we put out every single week. I see some of you taking track stacks out this big. You're like, man, and unless you put them in your car and, you know, there's a trunk load of tracts, you know, I'm pretty sure these are getting dispersed. And we prayed for those tracts. Why? Because God uses them. We're delivering the treasured message. We're inviting people to come and hear the gospel. This is the treasure that people are searching for.
Right.
Have you ever heard something like this? And somebody gets saved and they wonder, this is the best kept secret. I have to tell my family about this. I have to tell my friends about this. And then there's a fire that's lit inside. Why? Because you found it.
Amen.
You found the treasure. We can't hide it. We have to give it. We have to deliver it. We have to open up the storehouse. We have to get over ourselves. We have to talk to people about Jesus. Give invitations. Invite people to come. Give away tracts. Yeah. I'm going to give one more thing and then we'll be done. Actually, two more things. I shouldn't have even said that. Okay. I'm going to give you two more things and we'll be done. Man, we went late. My apologies, but you want to hear these. One more story about a missionary, Brother Sam Thomas, we support. And I did mention, I think, this in church one time, but I'm going to say it again. Brother Sam Thomas gave a testimony at a fellowship meeting a few years ago, and he told a story about being in India and hiking across the fields in India, trying to make his way to a village, and saw a farmer in one of these fields, an Indian farmer in one of the fields, and walked up to him and, wanting to present the gospel to this Indian farmer, said this to this individual, said, "Have you ever met Jesus?" And the Indian farmer said, "You know, I've never met him, but he might be in the field next to me." Do you know there are people who haven't even heard about Jesus? You know what we're called to do? Give them a chance. If we hide it, they don't even have a chance. Okay, last thing. Romans chapter 10. Turn there and we'll be done. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9 with me. I think this is my favorite soul winning verse. I have a lot. John chapter 4 verse 10 is my favorite too. Can you have two favorites? I don't know. Verse 9, look what it says. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," by the way, that word confess means admit your guilt. Can I say that again? That word confess there means admit, A, you're guilty. Well, what do you mean? It says confess the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Why did Jesus come? To die for our what? Yeah. You're confessing you need Jesus because you're guilty. I love it. Okay, let's go on. "And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." What a message. That's the treasure, isn't it?
Amen.
Look at verse 13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the treasure. But you know, it doesn't end there, does it? Look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" How shall they believe on him in whom they have not, say that next word,
heard.
heard. How shall they hear without a
preacher?
You're the scribe. That preacher is you.
Yes.
We're the scribe.
Amen.
If we don't take it to them, nobody will.
Right.
How will they hear? How will they hear? Unless we have a fire in us.
Right.
And we realize we're the ones. We have to tell them. We have to tell them. So, be ready. That's kind of loaded, isn't it? Be ready. If you're lost this morning, you need to get ready. If you're saved this morning, then you need to be ready to give the message, the treasure. Share it. Give them a chance. Father, we thank you for this message. For those who need to be saved, for those that need to be fired up for you and to deliver the gospel message. Would you help us to be filled with you this morning, to be touched? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You say, Pastor, that message was for me. And there's two things about this. Number one, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Now, would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody? Nobody's looking. You just lift your hand. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor, will you pray for me? Anybody? You say, Pastor, that message was for me, and I'm going to be honest with you. I struggle with talking to people about Christ. I feel like I have the treasure, but I sometimes hide it. And I don't open the storehouse. I don't let myself be a scribe like I should. Would you pray for me about that? Is there anybody? Thank you for being honest. I'll pray for you. Father, for these that lifted their hand, they need to become a ready scribe. A ready scribe. A ready scribe. To be ready. I pray that you'd help us to learn that. And then, Lord, for those that need to be saved, I pray you'd give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Mark will sing. The altars are open for you. Now, I want to say this. The altars are open. You can come even now. If you would like to be saved, if you'd like to be saved, just lift your hand at the altar and I'll meet you there.
Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling,
calling, oh sinner.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Blessing to be in God's house this morning. Our guests, I hope that you felt welcome this morning and encouraged and blessed. And we look forward to what God's going to do tonight. Brother Mark will be back tonight. We'll be singing. So let's look forward to that. We'll be back in Kingdom Parables tonight, Matthew chapter 13. So we'll look forward to that. I want to say to church, thank you for your giving. towards the revival preaching, and the offering to Brother Marshall was a blessing, and all of the offerings that we're giving were a real help towards that. So thank you for that. We are tonight going to receive the offering again. So Brother John, if we'd be prepared for that, to receive offering again tonight. If you'd like to give towards Brother Brother Mark Gray's love offering, you'll have an opportunity to do that tonight. If you have any questions about it, just let me know. Let's see. We'll look forward to seeing everybody at 5 o'clock tonight. Have a great afternoon. Let's do this. Let's see. Grant, come on up here. And Grant's going to dismiss us in it. Doesn't he do a good job song leading? I know we miss Brother Larry, but Grant does a good job. Just come over here. We're going to have you pray. Yeah, we won't do a song. So Grant will pray. He'll dismiss us in that, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody tonight.
All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Just God, thank you for the message today. And just please help us take to heart what the man of God preached today. Just thank you for that, and thank you for Brother Mark Grace is singing tonight. Just please help the message tonight to go well. Please help I pray that everyone has a safe drive home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.